Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Gospel Solutions for Families explores ways to have gospel principles direct us in our everyday living. Today, we will be talking about connecting one-on-one with family members. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today I'm joined by two special guests who will help us explore this topic further. I'm joined with Sister Carol M. Stevens, who is the first counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you. So good to be with you today.
It's nice to have you here. As a matter of fact, we are continuing on a discussion we had an earlier episode on this topic, and so I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about how we apply these principles of one-on-one connections with relationships. Tell me just really quickly about your family.
Well, my husband and I have been married for 37 years. We have 6 children, 4 sons and 2 daughters, and 17 grandchildren. We have one son who isn't married yet, but he's taking care of that in May. So,
oh, exciting.
We're just about to have another daughter in covenant. I love that. Thank you for teaching me that, Larry.
Well, and that's a great segue into our other guest, which is Larry M. Gibson, who is the first counselor in the Young Men General Presidency. Welcome, Larry.
Wonderful to be here again. Thank you.
You might want to clear up a little bit about what Sister Stevens was saying as a daughter in covenant right there. So tell us a little bit about your family and what that meant.
Well, I'm married to a wonderful daughter of God. Shirley Barton was her maiden name, whom I cherish. And we have 6 children. We have 5 sons and a daughter. But I really have 6 sons and 6 daughters because of these wonderful daughters that my sons have brought into our family. And we cherish them. And based on their marriages, we are now blessed with 37 grandchildren. We just had announced that we have 2 on the way. And so we're thrilled about those. And I love every one of them.
Well, I'm grateful for both of you being here so that we can speak from our own experience. But I hope that also with your opportunity and your present callings as general auxiliary leaders, where you've been out amongst church members throughout the world, that you can speak from the observation that you've seen with other families, other marriages. What a blessing it is for us to be able to see faithful saints throughout the world living gospel principled lives. It's a blessing. And so here we are going to explore about the connections and the importance of one-on-one relationships within families. And I thought maybe I would use this just to start this off, as I remember my father telling me about when the church started to have their own building division. This is going to sound like an odd way to start a Gospel Solutions discussion on one-on-one connections. But what they did is David O. McKay was the president of the church at the time, and he brought in all the heads of this new department, all the architects, the engineers, etc. And he was saying, you are going to be so busy now. The church is going to take off with buildings. The church growth is going to be amazing. In his prophetic way, he was saying, get ready for the ride. But he did pause and say, I don't want you to neglect the things that are most important. You're going to be about important things, but don't neglect the things that are most important, namely your marriages and your families. And I interviewed those members who were in this so that I could get the story straight after my dad had told me this when I was a young boy. And it was fun to talk to these individuals that were there, and they were talking about what was most important. And President McKay said, well, you know some of the things that the Savior will ask you in your judgment. And then he said, would you like to know? And when I interviewed these men, they said, we all sat there and everybody wanted to know, but no one dared say, yes, we would like to know. Finally, one of them simply said, yeah, we would like to know. And I think that this is important for where we're going today is President McKay said, well, one of the questions that the Savior will ask you is, and the first one was, give an accounting for your relationship with your spouse. And when I interviewed these gentlemen, they all had it written down same way. It wasn't just tell me about your spouse. It was tell me about your relationship with your spouse. And then question number 2, according to President McKay, was give an accounting for your individual relationship with each of your children. And once again, for me, there was this concept of not just, so how's the kids? Oh, they're great. Thank you for sending me such wonderful children. It was, no, tell me about your relationship with each of your children. Tell me about your relationship with your spouse. So I thought I would use that just to springboard in our discussion of the importance of one-on-one connection. In our earlier episode, we laid a gospel foundation of this is the way God connects. He connects with each of his children in wondrous, personal ways. So how might we emulate that? And let's start with the spousal relationship is, how can we connect as spouses in a relationship one-on-one to be able to create the relationship that we can give a good accounting to the Savior that he would like to hear? Any thoughts? You're experts on this. You've seen this going on. So share with me. Feed me.
Well, I'll start out with a brief story. When we determined to get married after my mission, Shirley and I wanted to get married in Salt Lake, and she wanted to get married in St. George. So we got married in Manti.
Oh, there we go.
Now, I wish that were 100% true. St. George was closed, or I'm sure we would have got married in St. George, but I always tease her about that. And I would, I'd go to any temple to be married to her. I was just grateful for that privilege. But I made a promise to her that Friday nights would always be hers for the rest of our lives. And I've tried to keep that promise, but she just hasn't wanted to go on some of the scout trips and other things that I've gone on. But
what is wrong with Shirley? What is she thinking?
But I think it is so important that we allocate the appropriate times for communication to go regularly. It is so easy to get caught up in the mundane things of the world and work and life in general. But I think we've got to keep that paramount, and I think our children need to recognize that our spouse is number one.
Okay, this is an important concept, and so if I understand correctly, is make sure that you have a regular, consistent time together. And so that's one way, one-on-one, so you're one-on-one. But then you said something here is, help me with this one, is it's important for children to know that you take that time. Say more about that, is what that means.
I think that is important for your children to know that you are one in your decisions that you make. And if you don't completely agree about something, it's good for you to discuss that outside of the...
Behind closed doors
is
what
right.
I say.
Behind closed doors, so that you can come to a unity, so that when you come, you know, when you teach your children in their teaching, in their training, and all of the things that you do as parents for your children, you need to be connected and you need to be one. If your children see that you're not one, that's where they know they can get a little wedge in there and start to play you against each other, and that's not a good situation.
Oh, and children
all.
Know how to do that. Is if you don't get what you want from mom, you go ask dad or vice versa. And usually they know which one to go to first, etc.
That's right.
But when couples are one, as far as that goes, some children will say, it doesn't matter who I ask first because I know that one will speak the same answer as the other, or they will say something like, just a moment, I need to go talk to your mother. And then they'll talk together, and then they'll come back as a unified body and say, here's what we have decided. So
that's
now
so
here's
important.
Something you both are saying here that's really, really important is the importance of a spouse to be one with their spouse. Okay, so this couple is unified. That doesn't come just by saying yes in a marital ceremony. That doesn't simply come because one has a license to be wed. Becoming one in the way that you're talking about this is going to require experience and time. Is that right?
That's right.
And I'm thinking of Elder Perry, where in a conference address, he said, begin by discussing with your eternal companion how much time you need together to strengthen your marriage, to demonstrate the love you have for one another. This is your first priority. Isn't that interesting? He's saying, let's sit down. And you mentioned about spending time on a date, religiously having this consistent experience of a date experience. And in a maybe a broader sense, Elder Perry is saying is talk over with your spouse. How much time do you need to become one? How much time do you need to show that you love each other? How much time do you need to be able to think alike or think about similar things, etc.? Does that make sense?
It does make a lot of sense, and it's great, great counsel. You know, I think the other thing I want to say in regards to being one is you can be one in righteousness, and you can be one in wrongness. And
oh,
so
good.
His his foundation, I think, is important. Talk to your eternal companion, and if you make that the basis, we're an eternal companionship. So what is our eternal perspective on all of this? I think that's important. I think, and I referred to a regular date, but I think there's much more than that, too. All of our children will talk about mom and dad before they go to sleep. They always have pillow talk. And pillow talk, they know I'm going to be discussed in some of that pillow talk tonight. You know? So
no, this is really important, and that does take time. And so you did that. Is that something you set apart, Larry, or did it come naturally? Was it something that became a habit, this pillow talk experience?
I think it became a habit over time. Certainly, okay. It wasn't something we did on the front end. We're all, when we first get married, and I don't want any newlyweds to think everything is perfect to start with. You have to work things out, and it's a process, just like determining our exaltation is a process too. So I think it's line upon line and precept upon precept, and we learn from watching, we learn from seeing, and we learn from each child. You know, some of our children require more than others too. And so it's a balancing thing that I think continues on, and we refine it over the existence of our marriage.
I really like this, and I like the fact that you have this kind of coming together at the end of the day and kind of sorting through things as far as that goes. This is really important. As a matter of fact, a lot of the research that's taking place and right now is a lot of couples do not even retire at the same time. Now with the younger generation, they're finding a lot of the males are playing video games late into the evening while their spouse would go to bed. And it doesn't have to be a gender experience, but that's the way it is right now. But the saddest part for me is that they're not having an opportunity, or they're creating a lifestyle where they don't have one-on-one conversational time. And so whether it's a pillow talk, I know some couples, what they do is they'll go for a walk. They say, let's walk around the block. And so they'll just walk around. And what they're doing is they're connecting with each other conversationally and even just emotionally and spiritually together.
Right. I think that's so necessary. And, you know, I was thinking about the weekly date. Sometimes those weekly dates are serving your parents, or sometimes it's going and doing something with the Scouts or something like that. Not always can you make it work out so that it's something you just do, the two of you together. That would be in a perfect world, I think, but when you have children and responsibilities. But that, I think, is where you went when you said sometimes you serve each other in righteousness, or you're a companionship in righteousness. And those are probably some of the sweetest opportunities that my husband and I have had, when we haven't just gone to dinner and to a movie, but when we've gone to serve someone together, or when we've had someone into our home, or, you know, just different kinds of service opportunities, I think is where you grow together a lot.
I like this concept of growing together, and I think this is important. If we look at the basic principle of the law of the harvest, you just don't get something for nothing. And so there is, Larry, you mentioned it's work, and work is not a bad thing. Actually, it's a wonderful blessing as we work and strive together. So Carol, as you're talking, I think that the way the gospel says this is we shoot and we reach for the ideal. In today's world, it seems that so many individuals are finding that the least amount of effort required to get something is what's the shortest way. So they'll say, well, instead of maybe having a date experience, let's just go and we'll just do this activity together. Rather than saying, what can we do? This is what I like about Elder Perry's. What can we do to have a better relationship? And sometimes you're saying the perfect world says you do not have an hour. You have 20 minutes. You have 5 minutes. So rather than seeking, how can we do this in 5 minutes every time? It's what can we do? And if we only have five, we're taking the five. And if we had 10, we would take 10, whatever is required. I think of a statement by President Kimball, who spoke so much about family relations and marriage relationships. He was a man ahead of his time, actually. All of our problems that we're finding in marital relationships today, President Kimball actually was speaking to before they hit the cresting of where we're at today. I guess you could say he was a prophet. You know, kind of thing. If only we would have followed that.
Yes, here in Revelation.
There we go. But he said this, there must be continued courting and expressions of affection, kindness, and consideration to keep love alive and growing. Now, whether you call that a date, or whether you call it pillow talk, or whether you call it a walk or serving together, I think the principle here is finding ways to be able to keep love alive. And there are times where spouses need to talk about their children. They do. And they need to do it one-on-one together so that they can then approach their children the best way. There are times they need to talk about each other together, right? I mean, there are times they need to feed their own personal relationships as well. And that's why I kind of pushed a little bit saying, isn't it important for children to know this as well? That they need to know that mom and dad work as hard at their relationship as they're working with our relationship, so to speak. And some couples, we're finding this a lot in the research, as soon as they have children, they put their relationship on a back burner, or they neglect it. And they feel that what they're doing is it's the time to serve our children or our greater family, and they're no longer doing things to build their own personal relationship. Did that make sense?
Yes, it sure did. And I think that goes to that you you learn how to serve each other. You know each other well enough to understand what the needs are. And sometimes you do need to just go to movie and a dinner, to dinner and a movie, so that you can just have some downtime. Sometimes you need to go for a walk so you can have some discussion time and download the day and maybe even counsel with each other. Sometimes you need to be serving each other. This will be a really funny thing, and I'm telling on my husband, but we...
Do say more.
We have our son getting married in May, as I mentioned, and his grandmother always does a beautiful quilt for each of her grandchildren, and for each one of them, I have hand quilted the quilt for them. Well, he's our last, and I'm in this position now that requires a lot more time, and so finding time to get that quilt hand quilted has been an interesting opportunity, should we say. I love to quilt, but just finding the time for it.
You're going to tell me he's an expert quilter now.
So my husband has just, he saw me down there quilting by myself when I had an hour the other night and said, show me how to do that.
That is so great.
We sat down at the quilt and I showed him how to do the knots and how to start quilting, and he's got his own little corner almost done. So that is showing forth love.
It is.
That is serving, and because I have a need, and he sensed that, and that would not be something he'd be naturally drawn to, but he's willing to sit and quilt with me. That's some fun time we have together to just discuss things.
See, this is an important principle, and I'm glad you brought this up, is it's not the event. It's the experience that is taking place.
That's right.
There. And so sometimes we think that if we only went on these really super great trips, then our marriage would be so much better. Or if we only did this or that, it's not the event. I'm not taking away from the event, but it's the experience that becomes the critical part.
And often it's just small and simple things that make all the difference.
Let's turn our thoughts here, because this is the foundation. I think that the foundation of any family has got to be the core, which is the mother and the father. And if they're working on that relationship and providing, then it gives the opportunity for that to exude or to really bathe the rest of the relationships. Now let's turn to the second question that President David O. McKay mentioned is how do we nurture the experience with an individual relationship with each of our children? How do we do one-on-one time with the kids? Because sometimes that's like leaving the 90 and 9 in my situation. It would, because we only have 4 children, so it'd be leaving the 3 for the 1. But there have been times where it is necessary to connect on a one-on-one. And even with grandchildren, when we're talking about a lot of grandchildren, is ways to be able to do this. Let's start with children. Thoughts on this and one-on-one connection with children, how we might do that and ways that we can find success in this.
Well, I think there's different ways to approach it, too. I have spent a great deal of time with my sons because of Aaronic priesthood functions and all those kinds of things. But I also take them out individually a lot, too. But I do the same thing with my daughters. I cherish those and take them on dates and have my one-on-one times with them. There was the time when every Fast Sunday, because I was of the positions that I held, I finally, as a stake president, says, I've got to eliminate things as far as bishops are concerned, so they have a little bit of free time. So we says, you can only have your block meetings on Fast Sundays. We don't want any other meetings held because we want you to go home and be with your families.
That's nice.
I did that because that's what I did when I was a bishop, and I used Fast Sunday to take my time and have some real one-on-one time. I didn't call them interviews. I just sometimes just go down and talk and let her share everything that she could. And I did the same thing with my sons, too. I felt like it was time to really, really listen. We look for those moments when we might have this profound influence. We refer to it as the casual religious conversations and the time to have that teaching moment. I think the teaching moments, if we would focus less on trying to identify where the time is for the teaching moment and spend the time on where is the best listening moment, the teaching moments will fall into place appropriately.
That's so true. That's true. That's excellent. Carol?
Well, connecting with children has It has to be one-on-one because they all have such different needs.
That's important to understand, I think. Mm-hmm. Some people don't realize that. They think mm-hmm. they're all from the same mold, and they're really not, actually.
Oh, that's what I thought. I fully expected they would all act just like the first one, and but they don't. They are all individuals, and they all have individual needs. And so the connecting one-on-one, I think, is a really important thing because we had some sons who loved team sports. We had some sons who liked individual sports better. We had daughters who loved music and daughters who loved dance. And so trying to support all of that and be there for all of that, it was important. It also got a little bit difficult because what I didn't realize when I started the first one into all of those different things that I was going to have to keep that up with all the ones who came after that. So we did have to take some time to step back a little bit and say, let's prioritize. Because sometimes we get so frazzled trying to keep up with all of the individual desires and needs of all of our children that we're just running all the time. And then we have no time to really come together and be one. I found that when our children were all teenagers, our children were born close. We had 3 children in 4 years, our first 3. And then the next 3 came a little later. But when they were all busy and doing things, I was running here and there, and I was missing being home and being a family and having dinner together. So I guess that's where the focus comes in. We're talking about the prioritizing and the focusing on the needs of the one, but also the needs of the whole, and not letting the needs of the one override the need of the whole.
Right. And this is why it was important in our first episode on this topic to talk about the foundational way that our Father in Heaven does. When he says, leave the 99, he's not saying we don't care about those 99 mm-hmm. anymore. He actually cares about all 100. And that's an important concept here is being able to discern the needs of individuals and have that one-on-one connection while still maintaining all of it. It is a tricky but a wonderfully unified experience if one focuses on that. And I like what you're saying here is once again, is I'm hoping that those that are listening will understand there's not just one right way to do this.
No.
There's so many different ways. And that's why when we're saying, hey, how do we do this, is we need to find the way to do it. Elder Perry, when I mentioned that quote about taking the time to find out about how you nurture your love for your spouse, he says that the second priority in the same talk, he says, consider the spiritual needs of your children. How much time is necessary to be certain you are close to them? It is your responsibility as fathers and mothers to provide adequate time to teach them, for the most important instruction children will ever receive should come from their parents. And so we find ways to be able to do this, and it's not, there's only one way. So Larry, you mentioned about the casual time is in my family on Fast Sundays, I actually do have, and they call them the interview, you know, kind of thing. And it is a little bit more of a formal time. And some people say, well, I don't like to do this, or I don't like to do it this way. And I'm like saying, well, wait a second. Do you think I don't have casual time with my children? is we find different ways of the way that it works. And so there are times that are appropriate to connect, sometimes just driving in the car. Or last night I was with my 16-year-old. He's a baseball player. And he says, Dad, you want to go out on the driveway and do this ball thing that we do with pitching and stuff like that? I'm sure. For me, I loved it. So I spent 45 minutes out there. This was not athletic training, actually. We talked about so many things. And yes, we talked about baseball, but we talked about priesthood brethren. We talked about honoring women. We talked about how much I loved him, you know, kind of a thing. And it wasn't kind of a formal thing. It was an experience, but it did require time. And it was just Tyler and I that were having this experience. And does that mean that I didn't talk to my wife? Oh, yeah, we did. We did.
And sometimes the most casual times are the best opportunities to visit. The structured times are absolutely necessary, but sometimes the casual times are when they'll really open up. And I loved what you said about understanding their spiritual needs, too. They all individually have needs spiritually, too. And I remember with one of our sons, he was approaching mission age and was a little really quite nervous about it, just not sure about it, and had some other education opportunities and things that he was concerned about. So I was serving as a Relief Society president at the time, and a sister in our ward, a single sister with some mental health issues, needed a Christmas tree. So I just, you know, Spirit whispered, just have him help you with that. So we went, he chose the tree, we took it to her home, and she was so, just so overflowing with love and gratitude for him, and just expressed so much appreciation for him as he put the tree, the lights on the tree and decorated the tree. I was trying to help him at first, and he says, Mom, I've got this. I can handle this. So I sat down and visited with her while he finished the tree, put the little star on the top, and he was so proud, and she was so happy, and just hugged him and kissed him. And when we went out of the house that night, he said, that is the first time in my life I remember feeling that unconditional love, that pure love that comes from serving others. He said, if this is what a mission's all about, then I want to be there.
And so much of that was done without a word spoken. You know, it's those little moments like that that just have such a phenomenal impact on these young people.
Yeah, just connecting to him individually, to the one, through service.
That's nice. One of the things that I think's very nice about our conversation here is we could go on and on, and sadly we don't have time to go on and on. We're drawing to a close here, but it hopefully helps us to be aware of there are many ways to do this, but we need to be aware it should be done. And I think that the structured elements, the church has many programs, family home evening, to all these different structural elements, ensure that we have opportunity to connect, but they lead to the non-structured elements, and both become so critical. It's actually the threads of the whole fabric that become so critical. And so very quickly, we just only have a few minutes left here, is I want to pick your brains on this because you have so much wealth. Let's just really quickly, experiences that you've had of connecting. For example, I might mention with distancing is, thank goodness for the internet connections, things like with Skypes or a way that we can go through and connect one-on-one. I serve with President Osgathorpe, and his wife actually gives piano lessons to her grandchildren one-on-one through the internet. And so she sets the little tablet on her piano. They have the tablet at their home, and she does this each morning. I've heard women and fathers who read to their grandchildren through that experience, and they're teaching them how to read through the internet. Point being, it's one-on-one connection time. Just very quickly, because we're so low on time, other ideas that just pop out to give our listeners ideas and say, hey, that's a good idea.
You know, I think technology is a powerful thing, like you say, whether it's Skype or FaceTime is a very easy thing to do. We have all of our families, we're all over the United States, and they've gathered in closer except for one that's out in New York. They have our newest grandson, and our wonderful son who's practicing law out there, and his dear wife don't want us to not know him. So we get my wife and I oftentimes, certainly her every day, is on FaceTime talking with him and interfacing with the two of them. And they're very, very close that way. So I think the technology is there to do those kinds of things. Obviously, we wish we could all fly out there, have them fly
Absolutely.
Back anytime, and that's just not the reality of things. So that I think even it's good to have letters written, because those become an heirloom for those children.
I'm glad you said that, Larry, because they are lasting memories that go from generation to generation. Actually,
exactly.
So that's, I'm glad you brought that up, is finding ways that are not so called traditional or in the vogue.
Yeah, something they can go back to whenever they need to.
Nice.
You know, and talking about journals and the importance of that, this is what I did in my journal. What did you do on yours?
Oh, good.
You know, you mentioned interviewing. My children can always, they joke about Dad's first question to us whenever he sits down with us one-on-one or wherever he is this question: tell me every morsel of detail of what's going on in your life. they've got it memorized, but that's an important. Another thing that's important, too, in those that are away, and I don't think I can stress this enough. I think prayer is an important assessment of how we're doing. And when you hear your children pray, even over the phone on FaceTime or these other things, have the opportunity to do that. It gives you an insight into where they're at. We need to constantly be assessing where they are spiritually. And we found prayer to be that. It's a great opportunity for us as parents and grandparents, as we pray, to even hopefully be able to say some things in the prayer that will touch the hearts of those as we counsel with our Father in heaven. Great things can occur because of prayers together, one-on-one.
I love that.
With grandchildren, and spouses.
That's nice. Carol?
I love everything that you said, and what I'm hearing, too, is small and simple. makes a difference. It's sometimes we don't have time or we're not close enough to do great big things, but it's the small and simple connections that make the difference. And I've found in this responsibility that I have in this calling now, just to help my family to be more a part of it, I love wherever I go to take pictures, and then I'll just send them just a quick little message with the picture to let them know a little bit about the family I'm with or the sister that I met or the experience that I had. And so it helps them to be connected in a spiritual way to the things that I'm doing in this calling too. And I appreciated so much the blessing that I was given that my family would be blessed through this calling, and I realize that that's one way that they can be blessed is if I share with them the things that I'm experiencing. So small and simple things really matter, and I'm finding that the little 1 minutes make a difference.
Well, that's great. I think that you're so right. I mean, the principle of laying foundations with small things, that's the establishment of Zion. So in Doctrine and Covenants, section 64 and verse 33, it says, "Be not weary. Don't be weary in the small things." And when we're looking at this, as it says right there, is out of a small thing proceedeth that which is great, and it is a foundation for things of the future. And I appreciate so much of what you've been saying, and I would encourage those who are listening to be able to explore. I mean, there is a wealth of information and ideas out there. LDS.org has so many things on families and connecting with children and parenting ideas. And while some ideas might not be the best for you, there are so many other ideas out there that connect, and we can learn from each other. But the principle is everlastingly the same. Is our Father in heaven gathers his sheep one at a time, one by one, and it's a very personal experience. And as families, we do the same thing. Our relationship with our spouse is built one day at a time, one moment at a time, and same with our children. And the blessings of this are everlasting blessings. And I have a daughter who's serving a mission, and she's in the MTC, but I think of when you were saying, I was reflecting upon different experiences of just little things of traveling with them together, and she was with me on a trip once because I was so busy. I said, "Why don't you just come with me?" But it wasn't going on the trip. It was actually in the car where she was in charge of the radio, and she was in charge of everywhere we ate. And we ate at the same restaurant for 5 days, you know, kind of a thing. And but the fun part about this was we still talk about that, is in the world we live in, and I think the Savior touched upon this, is the temporal aspects of the world we live in today. It comes and it goes. But the things of the heart will be everlasting, and no one can take your memories. They might steal your house, or it might burn down, heaven forbid, but they can never take those things that are of a heart. And so when it comes to it, I look at this daughter and other family significant relationships of when we do these connecting one-on-one times, it serves to last for long periods. So this same daughter, she has a set of songs that we listen to on that trip that no one else in the family can listen to except for me and her together. And it's a fond memory. And here it is years later, and we look at those. So thank you for your ideas. And I hope that in one small measure, it might give all of us a time to ponder and reflect upon those two great questions that President McKay brought up, is give an accounting for your relationship with your spouse, and give an accounting for the relationship with each of your children. And what a blessing it is to have those relationships, don't you think?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
What a blessing. It's the greatest blessing of all. Thank you so much for your help and in helping us to be able to see how the gospel truly informs these relationships one by one, one at a time, through small things. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.